Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Six American troops were killed yesterday in Kandahar after a suicide blast came from a minibus. The Taliban has claimed responsibility for the explosion, which could be heard 8 miles away. It was the deadliest attack on coalition troops this month. Joining us now with details from Kabul is the BBC's Paul Woods. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
What are the details do we have about this attack?
Well, this was actually in Sangsar, which has got a lot of residents because it's the place that the Taliban was actually born as a military force back in 1994. Mullah Omar hanged two Muj commanders from the barrel of a tank for the rape of two local nomadic Kutchi girls. So these are American troops who'd set up a small combat operating base with Afghan soldiers, and a bomb, pretty big one, the blast was heard 8 miles away, was packed into a minibus and driven into the side of the building, and it was a mud-walled compound which collapsed, and that is why the casualties are so high.
And the Taliban has immediately claimed responsibility, and people are accepting that?
Yes, the Taliban spokesman has been saying it was them, and more than that, I think it's been identified as a pretty hard-line faction of the Taliban, one quite close, that says it's quite close to Al-Qaeda and is known for suicide bombings and carrying out beheadings and things like that. This little place, Sangsar, is southwest of Kandahar in a place called Jeri, which was always the place that the Taliban thought of as a safe haven. But over the past 3 months or so, US forces, 101st Airborne mainly, have been sweeping through there and driving them out. And I think what's happened is that I was with the 101st Airborne while they were doing this, not running into much opposition. A lot of the Taliban have literally got on their motorcycles and gone to Kandahar, where they are planning exactly the kind of attack that we saw yesterday.
All right, that's Paul Woods with our partner, the BBC. Stay with us, Paul. We'll be back with you in just a moment. But I'm sure that this suicide attack in Kandahar that killed six American troops will be on the minds of those who are evaluating the strategy this week at the White House. They're checking back in there this week to see if the decision to send 30,000 additional American troops into Afghanistan has led to more military success. So we'll take a look at one place that actually got some of those additional troops, Marja, which is in the Helmand province.
Marja's kind of a test. At the beginning of this year, the U.S. military started what it called a new way of reclaiming districts from the Taliban. One of their first offensives was in Marja, all part of that new strategy that included announcing in advance how they would enter a village. Now, 10 months later, a top commander has declared the battle to secure Marja essentially over.
The BBC's Michael Buchanan traveled with U.S. Marines in Marja. He found some signs of progress, for the local people at least, including the formal opening of a school that's called the Balakino School. In one room, 7-year-old Maksud was writing the alphabet on the blackboard. Maksud says he's scared to come to class.
Yeah, I'm scared. There are Talibans and there is no security. Yes, and they will kill me.
Maksud is scared every day, and his teacher says he's the brightest student in the class. But everyone, teachers and staff, are students of the day-to-day risk of being attacked for working in this American-supported school.
I would like to serve my country and serve my students here, so they can know what education is and choose the pen rather than the gun.
The U.S. Marines funded the entire construction of this school in Marja. They filled it with desks, chairs, and books. They paid the teachers. What they could not do was to get the community to support teaching girls here. All of the 1,200 pupils at the school are boys. Sergeant Casey Litzy has gently suggested that the school embrace a little gender diversity, but so far, no dice.
And they're really young when they have younger daughters, like under the age of 13 or 14. I generally bring it up. Are you going to send your girls to school? It's just the cultural thing. They need them there to take care of the family, take care of the house.
Marja isn't all about new schools and educational victories. The insurgents returned in force within weeks after the U.S. offensive, and the two sides fought for control for months. Edward Messmer, a U.S. State Department official who's been in Marja since March, says the strength of the insurgency came as a surprise.
I think everyone was surprised at the persistence and the length of the violence. We thought we could start governance and development operations a lot sooner, and we thought that they would take effect.
Instead, the summer brought fierce firefights. though Marja has been calmer in recent weeks. One worker at the school's construction site, Abdul, told our partner the BBC a story that really sums up the dilemma still facing many Marja residents.
The Taliban have asked the locals in my village to start growing poppies and to stop working for the Westerners or the government. I'm working in this area because it's more secure. There are no Taliban here. I know that if the Taliban find out that I'm working on a government project as a day laborer, I won't survive.
Let's go back again to the BBC's Paul Woods, who joins us from Kabul. Paul, I imagine that Marja will be one of the areas that people will be, the people in the White House will be looking to as a success as they evaluate the Afghanistan strategy. Is that how people in Afghanistan see it?
Sure. I mean, as you say, Marja is one of the places that when President Obama says the Taliban's momentum has been stopped, he is talking about Marja. The strategy is clear, hold and build, but it is not one of permanent occupation by US troops. And so I think the test will be, as the US forces start to pull back and hand over to Afghan forces who have a pretty spotty record, whether those are held or whether the Taliban come back again. And I think if you're an Afghan, to go back to your question, what you want to know is who's going to be in charge in your village or your valley in 5 years' time. And Afghans in places like Marja, I think, will back the people that they think are going to be the winners eventually.
And moving forward, they may also have to examine a strategy of the U.S. war in Afghanistan without Richard Holbrooke, who's been one of the architects there. He's now recovering from heart surgery. He's the special envoy for the U.S. in Afghanistan and Pakistan. He's in critical condition right now. To what extent are the people who have constructed the strategy in Afghanistan, actually their policies and their philosophies felt on a day-to-day basis on the ground there?
Well, Richard Holbrooke stood for a political settlement and a negotiated settlement with the Taliban, or at least some kind of political process. I don't think the White House has yet come round to that. It's quite interesting. I was reading something that he wrote as a young political officer in South Vietnam, talking about all the problems of dealing with corrupt governance, but nevertheless, that being the only way forward. And it's, you could almost substitute Afghanistan for South Vietnam in his analysis. I think that the Afghan government is trying to talk to the Taliban. I think that most people, including military commanders, believe there is no military solution to this. There is only a political solution. I think we may be at that point in 6 months' time. And that, if you like, will be Richard Holbrooke's moment. But we're not there yet.
Paul Wood is the Afghanistan correspondent for our partner, the BBC. He joined us from Kabul. Thank you so much, Paul.